Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Alana. I love seeing you so frequently over Zoom.
Over Zoom. Again, I'm in. I mean, there's so many things before we even start. I think we need to start this episode by saying that we have the most amazing producer on this podcast.
We really do.
Her face brightens up my day. You brighten me, Danny. Brightens me up. Every time we do an episode, you brighten our day.
And it's her birthday today. Danny.
Come on. Danny, we love you, Danny. She's blowing us kisses over Zoom. She gets us. She knows all my secrets.
When we first met Danny, we thought we had gone to camp with her. We were like, yes. Do we know Danny? She felt so familiar. And that's just, this is why our podcast feels like a sleepover, because Danny's on every episode, engaging with us, giving thumbs up.
We just try to make Danny laugh. So that's why this podcast is so funny. So happy birthday, Danny.
Happy birthday,
Danny.
We've had such a, how fun have we had? My
We're
brain.
Both, it's early.
I'm a little hungover.
I had
a single martini last night.
You can't drink, dirty girl.
Everyone has learned. Dirty. I had a single martini and I'm like, fully proper hungover.
Are you?
Yeah, I can't drink. I have an enzyme thing.
So hot. Hot girls have enzyme problems. Wait, do you get your martini dirty or do you get it with a twist?
Dirty vodka martini. And I do either Tito's or Kettle One.
Oh,
that's my
interesting
drink of choice if we're going to have that conversation.
Your drink
right
of
now
choice. Stunning. I was not a martini gal. We're really just going into like now this is like my 30s. I was never fuck free period. We're just gonna talk about my 30s. I was never a martini gal, and then I was brought to this place. This place changed my life. It's in London. It's called Duke's. And if you're ever in London, please go to Duke's. There's the most amazing human being, man there named Alessandro. Shout out to Alessandro. We love you. that makes the greatest gin martini. And they only let you have two. You can't have a third, because honestly, if anyone can make it to a third, I'm so shook. Like,
I feel like
it is,
you know, all of the UK can make it to the third.
I do. But it's the greatest martini of all time. So if you're ever in London, I mean, this is not sponsored.
This is a shout out episode. We're going to keep shouting out everything.
We're going to shout out everyone. Also, another shout out. I think also the reason why I'm bringing up London is because we just had the most amazing episode with Dolly Alderton.
The best. Oh,
I was like, love her.
Isn't she? First of all, I could listen to her speak. I feel like it really did feel like three friends having on their third glass of white wine, like screeching over each other, as she said.
Yes.
It felt like that. Like, it felt like all of us were at drinks just agreeing with each other. The amount of times I was like hitting my chest, being like, me too, but without saying it. I feel like she is us.
She is us. And I like, everyone needs to go buy her books. Please go buy her books. She's amazing. And I think after that episode, I think both me and Sasha kind of got in our feels a little bit. And I think that's why today, I think we need to talk about breakups.
I think we need to go there. And we are going to go so far back. So famously, I save my AIM conversations to Microsoft Word. Clippy being like, can I help you with anything? Me being like, fuck off, Clippy. This is between me and Microsoft
Word. That's going to be our merch. Honestly, our merch is going to just say, fuck off, Clippy.
I saved every conversation, and one of which I sent to Alana, and we are going to do another cold reading. Alana has never
seen
this conversation.
We love these cold readings on free period.
This is with, I believe it's sixth grade. It's my biggest crush. It's my brother's best friend, Asher. He was my crush link, if you remember that story, or it was a prank. And then this was in an earlier podcast, but he was my everything. I'm going to talk about this after we read this. So we can
in. Okay. Because I do. I want to unpack Asher. Okay. So here we go.
So famous again, I am Shoes 626. And Alana will be playing the part of Asher. Okay.
Okay. Amazing.
And action. I'm so bored, like it's not even funny.
Lol.
What are you doing?
Listening to music and watching the election. Okay. 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 Here we go.
Coolio. K-E-W-L-I-O is how I spelled it. Sorry. I always say tat.
I figured.
Hee hee. I'm sorry about every time someone comes over. Theo just starts beating me up for no reason. He doesn't mean to. He just likes doing it. LOL.
Wait, please, for the listeners, tell them how you spelled cum.
I spelled cum. C-U-M, baby.
Oh, so hot.
I didn't even know. Okay, he doesn't mean to. He just likes doing it. Lol.
Lol is okay.
Okay, who, H-O-O, do you think is going to win the elections?
Gore. Love him. Love him already. Gore.
I think Bush is, even though I vote for Gore. Everyone wants him to win. I don't. But it's just that he's like ahead.
But Gore is coming back.
Okay, cool, K-E-W-L. Because I haven't watched the elections. It's just that everyone is saying, Bush is so going to win. What music are you listening to? Sorry, I just have to know, all caps, everything.
Nelly, lol.
Lol. Cool. Coolip. And then asterisk. Coolio. Yeah, he's cool. Number two. No, sorry. Number seven.
You know, on Napster.
Oh, sorry. Next text. We're going to switch slides. Sorry. See, Theo got me into the song Take a Ride With Me, and you got him into that song.
Yeah, lol.
Right, lol. I like really have to get the Nelly CD. I mean, I listen to Theo's and my mom's. Yes, my mom's. But then when I get the CD, he's like not popular anymore. I so can't wait to leave Carl Thorpe. I mean, really. Okay, I gotta go. Bye.
Bye.
Have fun watching the elections.
Lol, okay.
Hee hee. That's the end. Okay. Okay, really quickly.
There's so much to unpack in this
just
correspondence.
That he's like ahead is my, I think I'm going to say that every election. I'm going to be like, you know, I really want this person. He's just like ahead.
He's just like ahead. But also love that he was a Gore fan. Also, that just transported me. That uh-huh. was like a crazy time warp. I remember that election. Uh-huh. Oh, God, what could have been? What could have been?
What could have been? I was in love with this person. I was so jazzed from this conversation that I copied and pasted it. I thought it went swimmingly well. Like, my interpretation of that was like, oh, we're vibing. And reading that as an adult, it's like, he's like, well, okay. Like, why are you talking?
I have no, like, I've never seen a picture of Asher. I have no idea who he is. But in my mind, he is Timothée Chalamet from Lady Bird.
He's
the one that's like, he's like reading a book. Like, it's like lunchtime and everyone's like talking about like live journal and shit. And he's in like the corner reading like a poetry
No, no, dude. Asher loved b-ball. He wore muscle tees. He was 2 grades older. I knew his birthday by heart. I mean, listen, I could grab the diary. I have every entries about Asher. I even
you celebrated his birthday by yourself every year. It's Asher's birthday.
Every year. And the reason I had a crush on Asher was because at Theo's 6th grade graduation, I was only in 4th grade. I went to the party. Weird. And Brian McKnight came on. It was a slow dance section.
Oh my god.
You're like a dream come true.
You know that.
just wanna be. So that came on, and Asher asked me to slow dance. It was my first slow dance, and I used to play that song on repeat every day after. It was Ty and Clueless, where she gets the tape of like Rolling with the Homies.
Rolling with the Homies.
Rolling with the Homies. I always was like Elton. I was like, Elton has a great voice. So does Ty. So I listened to that on repeat. I was obsessed with him. And the only reason I was obsessed with him was because I danced with him. I hadn't even looked at him before. And I find that this was true for the rest of time. Like, if a guy showed interest in me, I was like, oh, I'm in love with that person.
100%.
It was like my taste was just guys who liked me.
Right. 100%. That's the same as me. I just wanted attention.
I wanted attention. But then also, I just really quickly have to add, whenever Asher would come over, I would shoot hoops. I was like obsessed with b-ball because he was obsessed with b-ball. And outside my brother's room, I was shooting hoops and screaming, like singing Nelly. So that he would hear me. My game plan was he would be like, oh, she shoots? Oh, she plays ball? And then
and
be
she
like,
likes
oh,
Nelly?
She knows the words to every Nelly song? Track number 7? That was my plan of attack. And
dude,
it did
that not, is yeah. full Mayonnaise Greg. It was Mayonnaise Greg.
Weakness
it's like, I'm going to do what he likes. And then he's going to realize that I was always there.
Yes.
And then we're going to date and then we're going to have babies and get married. And this will be our story of like, you were like thinking like, oh, at the wedding dinner when everyone's making speeches, like Asher is going to stand up and go, I remember that day that, you know, she was shooting hoops and singing track number 7 of Nelly's album.
Yep.
And I just knew. I just knew that she was the one. I knew it then and I know it now.
There you go. But Alana and I mean, we really feel like we cracked open on the Dolly episode that today we were like, okay, let's actually go all the way back. We talked about all of our first boyfriends, but we want to really delve into why we chose the people we chose in our adult-ish years.
In our adultish years. I thought, I'm like, okay, we want to go to adultish years?
Uh-huh. No, I think we don't need to go.
No, we can. I'm down. Let's go. On free period, there's nothing off limit. Well, there's some things that are off limits, but
I mean, we don't say
my parents listen. My parents, I know we can't say we can talk about everything else. No, my parents listen. It's always so funny because my parents every week go, I listened to the episode, and I'm like, don't listen to the last one.
Stop. Oh, wait, can I just say that my mom listened to the one of me and Jessica? You, me and Jessica, but you know, for her two daughters.
Yes.
And she was like crying. She called both me and Jessica and was like, do you know how incredible it is as a mom to hear my daughters being so honest with each other, being so self-aware, so funny, so just, she cried and she was just so touched. And I feel like moms probably, I don't know what it's like to be a mom, but just I imagine there's this sense of like pride and, oh, they're getting along.
Totally. I mean, it's just, I mean, that episode was so special. We've really gone on a roller coaster ride on this. I feel like this is our graduation day. We have a lot more episodes that we have to, you know, film. But
I know,
or
but we're feeling
record.
Cracked open.
We're feeling very, honestly, Dolly really cracked me. I was feeling like in my feels today. Just,
I know, me
but
too.
Like trying to like love myself, if anything. Not sadness, but more just like inner child work of like healing that sweet little baby angel that was just trying to do the best she could. You know what I mean?
Know,
like,
it's I just... loved her. I loved her. Also, let's talk about the two photos of me playing guitar on my bed and you playing guitar. We're the same age.
I know.
It's
so embarrassing.
I wish we knew each other then. I just really
I wish
we
so
had
too.
Each other.
I know. You would have totally been, you would have, like, I would have been the person taking your photo and you would have been the person taking my photo and you would have been like, you look amazing.
Yeah.
Get the flying V. Get the flying V guitar. Dudes will love it.
By the way, did you get it or no? Was that your guitar?
That was Danielle's guitar that I like borrowed.
Oh my God. Very cool.
Yeah, that was also all Danielle's clothes. Like Danielle, I think those were Juicy Couture pants that we got at Marshall's that were like so fucked up on the bottom. And I think those were my shoes. I don't remember where those shoes were.
Ballet
like,
slippers,
where I got them.
Kind of?
They were like pointed ballet flats.
Yeah,
they were
I
all
had
the
them.
Rage guys. They were all the rage guys. But the thing that is super crazy is that I'm wearing maybe the largest Star of David. If you zoom in super, you got to zoom in on that photo. I think I might have to repost it with this episode. But if you zoom in, I am wearing, I made a Star of David necklace out of a keychain. It's a Star of David keychain.
Oh my god. With,
and I put like I like just like weaved through like a like oh a my. Necklace and I wore it to school every here it day is. In seventh Wait, grade.
Alana, it's right here. It's
I know
right
you're
here.
Seeing
how
it.
Did
and
I,
you can't,
how did I?
You can't unsee it now. You can't unsee it. I was so proud of, I mean, I'm always proud of being Jewish, but I was
oh my god.
Extra proud of being Jewish in seventh grade. And I am wearing a Star of David keychain on a necklace. And I wore it to school every day.
Did people comment on it? Did you feel so cool?
Well, the thing is like the because I think at that point we were like all the dudes in my school were like obsessed with the Ali G show. Yeah. And he would always wear like really big emblems on his necklaces.
Yeah.
And so all the dudes in my school that were also Jewish, because I was only friends with like, I was like friends in the bat mitzvah circuit. And you're like friends with like a million Jews in the valley.
Amazing. Yeah, of course.
All the dudes were like, that's so cool. And like they would all be like, let me wear it. And so like I had this necklace that I was like, oh my God, like dudes talk to me if I wear this fucking Star of David keychain. On a necklace, and I wore it because I was like so addicted to the attention. I mean, I'm sure after a week it lost, like it's fun, but I wore it every day. I was
you needed
fucking
to cross
pumped.
If you had crossed the 405 and gone to one Brentwood bar mitzvah, I promise you it would have been
well,
reignited.
The thing is, actually looking back on it, rosaries were really popular in seventh grade. Like girls would wear rosaries. Yeah. As a necklace with like a cross on the bottom. And obviously I'm Jewish. I can't wear a rosary. I mean, I probably could, but I didn't. So like my version of a rosary
was
a Star of David keychain yes. on a necklace. So good for
I
me.
Bought
super
very
cool.
good for you. I bought a rosary on Venice Boulevard when I was 14. And I also bought a Sex Pistols sweatshirt that had the penis on it. And so oh, it was fuck. Like double... that was my rebellion. But the rosary. I remember
well,
when that was
Mary
a whole thing.
Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen would wear rosaries. Like that was
You're
the whole thing.
So
it was like in the
right.
like early 2000s like maximalism, like bags were huge. Like Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen had the like Balenciaga, like we hate them now, but back in the day when Nicolas Cassier was there. Creator,
the
designer. Oh, the knowledge. Well, the only reason why I have this knowledge is because Danielle Haim is my sister.
Oh, okay, fair.
But they would have like the Balenciaga motorcycle bag that was huge. And
yes.
They would wear scarves that skull scarf. The skull
yes.
scarf. I forget
of
who
course.
Made it.
Chrome Heart.
And
was it
then,
Chrome Heart? No,
was
it wasn't Chrome Heart.
Hearts.
It wasn't
I don't remember
Chrome Heart.
That.
It was some very fancy. Oh my God. I remember that. Oh, we have to
I just
out
remember
who
Urban
that.
Outfitters definitely did like a dupe.
Dupe?
A dupe? Urban Outfitters did a dupe of it. And then they were like, you were like rosaries. And then
yeah.
so many bracelets, like maybe like 45 like bracelets that were like, some were like, woven, some were
yes.
silver. Like
yes.
silver was like a big like on both hands.
Well, then
like,
there was the
maximalism.
Kabbalah. Don't forget the Kabbalah red
oh,
string.
Oh, and I had a Kabbalah string. I definitely wore a Kabbalah string. It was a ting. But it was like this time where you know people were wearing rosaries, and I wanted to be cool, and I
Me
couldn't
too.
Wear a rosary. So
I
but,
felt
see?
Yeah. I wore it maybe for a day. I didn't. I also got earrings. I mean, earrings with crosses on them. Because again, yeah, that was like Chrome Heart. I mean, what was the skull brand? It was like Alexander McQueen.
No, was it McQueen? I think it actually was McQueen. It was McQueen. That's what it was.
I never owned one. I mean, I really do.
I
you know what
one.
I would do? I think you know this. I think everyone knows this. I had a Chrome Hearts tank top. And all I wanted was one that said fuck you on the back. My parents Ugh. Absolutely said no. So I borrowed one from Layla. It said fuck you on the back. And I wore it under my white uniform shirt. The Ooh. Thin cotton white one, not the like normal white one. I wore a thin cotton one with the fuck you. And I wore my hair up so that the student behind me in math class saw the fuck you. Because I wanted to be a rebel. I wanted word to spread that Sasha Spielberg was wearing something that said fuck you because she is a rebel.
She's a badass.
I'm a
she
badass.
She, you know what she doesn't give? Any fucks. She gives zero fucks.
Zero. But then, so I was actually thinking about this a lot, And the reason why I dated the people I did in my adulthood was all because of high school. I'm going to just lay out two examples. I was 18 when I started dating this person. He was 7 years older. I met him at a funeral when I was 15.
And that's where our story begins.
I was 15. I had a boyfriend. Let's not forget my dear, lovely boyfriend. Met him at a funeral. We talked about the Strokes. It was love. I was like, oh my God, an older guy is flirting with me. So that dated, I mean, that was high school for me. I was like, and he was my 10th grade to freshman year of college. I was obsessed with him. And then the guy I dated after him was like the coolest guy. When I was in 9th grade, he was a junior, and you even knew of him. He was like a rock star. He drove an old Chevelle. He was a musician. He actually dropped out of high school, which was very cool. So I started dating this person after the other guy. And I was fulfilling my 9th grade fantasy. I remember meeting this person when I was in 9th grade. He was a junior. He did not look at me. He had an old jean jacket. He was smoking cigarettes. He had drove an old Chevelle. He was like a rock star. I knew he did drugs. He dropped out of school. I was like, I want the cool guy to like me. Finally, at the age of 24, he actually noticed me. And I do believe that is why I entered that relationship, because I was reverting back to 9th grade. I just wanted him to like me. And guess what? I played the role of a lifetime for him. He wanted me to be cool girl. Guess what? I became cool girl, but not to him. I just started dressing in like jean on jean, like drove in his old pickup truck. We had a pit bull together. It was like woven blankets in the back seat. It was like getting oysters at a real inn on the PCH, and then like driving to Northern California and like sleeping at old motels and going to the only video store in the village and renting weird videos and watching them in this old ghost town. I mean, it was like this fantasy. I always wanted this fantasy. This was like the movie version of Sasha. It was a horrible relationship, let me add. It was a very toxic relationship. Had I not met him in 9th grade, I don't believe I would have continued dating him.
No, totally. But the thing is like, for how we won't obviously, we don't need to bash anybody, but the thing that I'm honestly grateful for in that relationship is that it brought me to you. Exactly. That's what it did. It Alana, brought me in the weird like universe of our friendship, which is so crazy, because the thing is, it's like, if you've been listening to Free Period, which thank you again, but all me and you always say is I wish we would have met earlier. And yes, I don't even think that if you weren't in that relationship, we 100%
100%. Because what happened was was like,
tell our origin story.
You live in West Hollywood. That's not going to fly with me. We got to move to the Sierras. Like, it was very much, let's get a ranch house and 10 dogs and pickup truck and make music and be artists and poets. And I was like, does Silver Lake work instead?
Close to Silver Lake?
Is that close to Silver Lake? Because Silver Lake, I can do, you know? Where I was living in West Hollywood, he shamed me for it, shamed me constantly. Finally, I agreed to move to the East Side. And that is when Alana and I, we were already friends, but
we were.
There was a very big shift in our friendship once I moved to a place 5 minutes from your house.
Yes. The day that we solidified our friendship was because of this relationship that you were in. And we had always been friends, but like you had moved from the West Side to the East Side. And I'll never forget, so like we had made a date to go to breakfast at Stella Cafe.
Yes.
At Stella Cafe.
If you know it. Everyone knows it.
If you're on the East Side, you know it. And we had this like amazing breakfast. We were just having a really fucking good time. And then you got a call. You got a call. And the call was come home. Yeah. And I remember seeing like the sheer panic mm-hmm. in your face, mm-hmm. which was not nice to see as a friend.
No.
as a human, because we weren't even close yet. I was like, oh, that's that. I don't like it. And you went back home and then you guys had a fight or something.
Oh, and he threatened. Actually, no. Yeah. He would always pack a suitcase and then leave and be like, we're done. And one time I even got into the suitcase because I didn't want him to leave. I mean, it was a very toxic relationship. So the house was empty and I immediately texted Alana.
And I got the text and we had just had an amazing breakfast. And then maybe 2 hours later, I get a text saying he left. And like, I put on my Superman cape. I was like, I'm coming over. I was like, I'm coming over. And I think you remember being like, no, it's fine. Like, people pleaser already. You were like, it's fine. I'm fine. And I was like,
we had a great Eggs Benedict.
It's fine. I can't.
Yeah.
And I was like, absolutely not. Shut your beautiful mouth. I'm coming fucking over. I'm coming over. And I brought over Whispering Angel, which is rosé, which I later learned that you fucking hate rosé. And I will never bring you rosé ever again.
But I drank it. I did commit. I drank
you it. You did. As a good friend, people you were pleaser, like.
People pleaser was like, I have an enzyme issue. Will not break this down easily.
You're like, I'm breaking out in hives. I'm breaking out in hives, but I'm going to drink this because she brought it over. And like, I know nothing. And we just.
Yeah.
We had like one of those talks that really like solidified a friendship where I was like, we really talked through everything. Yes. And after that, it was like game over. We were like, I was always over at your house. Also, just so everybody knows, when Sasha got her house on the east side, I went to the open house. I went to the open house. And actually, the reason why I knew you moved to the east side was you, I had gone to the open house and I remember being like, wow, this is my dream home. I would love to live in this home. And then like a month later, you took a photo and put on Instagram that was like, new home. And I was like, oh, Sasha got my dream house.
Yeah, I would have hated me. I would have hated me.
But isn't that fun? No, but if anything that like just even solidifies how we even have the same taste in home. So like, it's just, but on top of everything. So after that, like crazy, I mean, I remember seeing you through that whole relationship and it was just, you like every person that has like a best friend that goes through a tumultuous relationship, like, you know, the look of, you know, pure, just like, it's just drainage. Like, it feels like you're drained. And I remember seeing you just drained. It's like your eyes were like,
well,
hollow.
One time you and I went downstairs because he had packed a bag. He had left without the bag. We went downstairs. You're like, I want to see what's in the bag. Let's just take, what did you back? We opened the bag and it was literally just socks.
Socks. Where was he going? Where was he going? We don't know.
To sock
just
land.
Socks. To sock land. Sometimes that's all you need is socks.
He had put socks in it and you were there with me. Basically, every time he packed a bag and left, Alana would come over.
Yes.
And that was really how we would be so sad.
I would come over for other things, but yes, the bulk of it was Superman cape on. I'm coming over. We're switching up the vibe. We're switching
because
up the fucking
also,
vibe.
Also, I really respected that you didn't judge me for staying in the relationship.
No.
You weren't judging me. Like, there was no judgment. There was like, you got to get out of it. Because the last thing you want to hear when you're in a toxic relationship is you need to leave.
Yes.
Because it is impossible to leave.
It is.
And that's the last thing you want to hear. You don't want to hear someone say.
Right. Well, that's also like the reason why were besties is because we were both in toxic relationships. And I completely understand. Like, it is a crazy thing being anyone that's been in a toxic relationship can, you know, feel the way that me and Sasha felt. Like, again, yes, it's like what you just said. It's like you have to do it on your own. And it's the hardest thing to get out of. It is the hard, like, harder than anything that I've ever had to do in my life. And I've had multiple toxic relationships. Yeah. But when you're in it,
oh my God.
You are so fucking in it.
Well, the highs are so high, but that's only because the lows are so low.
100%.
So you start having these false highs and like, oh my God, I could marry this person. And it's only because you've just had like throwing yourself in a suitcase full of socks moment. You know, and it's really, really hard. But I do, you know, it did lead me to you. It really did
lead me to you. And on top of everything, the first time that I met Harry, knowing where you had come before, and then meeting Harry and like that face. I mean, when my sisters, when I was in toxic relationships, they would say the name of the boy that I was dating and be like, "You have the blank face." Like, oh, wow. She's got the blank face. Like, if I'm gonna use a pseudonym, God. You have the Jason face. Like, I'd never given anyone named Jason, but that's what it would be. And you had the blank face for so long. And then meeting Harry, I'll never forget, we were like on your balcony during the pandemic. We were very safe. I want to make it clear, we were very safe. We stayed 10 feet apart because we didn't even do it because of the guidelines. We did it because we were Jewish. Like, we just like did not want to get fucking COVID. We couldn't get a test anywhere. I think anything, we like all we tested as well. And we were like, we don't trust the tests. Like, one of us probably has COVID. And
we got pizza,
even though we were all in great health. But I was like, we were all like, get the fuck away from each other. Yep. And we had, that was like the day that I met Harry. And I'll never forget, like, just the way that your body language was. Like, your face looked so bright. Your body language was so at ease. Like, Harry was checking in on you. Like, it was the first time I had seen like a true partnership. I mean, maybe other than my parents. Like, it was like this partnership where it was like so equal and the energies matched so well. And it was honestly like aspirational for me. I was like, I need to find, not that I don't want to marry your husband. I love you guys together. I love you guys together. But like, the thought that there's someone, because again, like we've been through the ringer with so many different people, and the fact that there is a light at the end of the tunnel where you can actually find your missing puzzle piece and it be this like beautiful connection and it have this beautiful flow to it, it made me feel like I could have that too. So you and Harry are my like dream couple.
But also knowing that I had just completed 12 years of dating, really, it was 12 years of true pain for me.
Yes.
And I didn't think I'd ever see the light, ever, until I met Harry. And I know that's so cheesy, but I remember Harry had gone to the bathroom. By the way, like, we were all standing so far away from each other. It was Red Rover. It was fully facing each other at like 50 feet, but I remember you and I got closer than 10 feet just to be like, oh my God, what do you think?
Also,
you
it's were so just funny like, to try to whisper.
You started crying.
I did start crying. I started crying. I started crying because I was just like so, which is also psychotic. Like, but I was just so happy for you because that's all I've ever wanted for you. Oh, like, God. I just
but it's
want,
all I ever want for you.
It's like, everyone deserves happiness. Everyone deserves to find their person, whoever that person may be. But knowing you for so long and having to go through all the things that you went through and then having this beautiful culmination, like, I was just so happy for you. I was just, like, the happiest I've ever been that, like, you did it. Like, you found a person that loves you for – you didn't have to put on a costume. You weren't Penny Lane. It's not like we were trying to be Penny Lane. We weren't trying to be any person. You were authentically yourself, and you found somebody that was like, I love you for your authentic self, and I have yet to find that fucking person.
But you will find that person, and it will happen. You have to remember, it just simply will, and it's going to be so beautiful. And you had, I mean, let's go back to, like, the origin.
Right.
Just your origin story in terms of dating and the people you were dating. I mean, you had a really amazing love
when
you were 17.
I had, so my first real boyfriend, I had a boyfriend before that, but it was my we'll talk about that after.
Talk about that.
But my first real boyfriend, which I look back on that relationship and I'm just so incredibly grateful for the love that he showed me. Because there's different, love comes in different shapes and sizes, and the love that me and this person had was so innocent and beautiful that the fact that it was really my first love was, I like, there's many things that I've done in this life. He was one of the greatest things that had ever happened to me. I'm gonna cry again. But it was like the craziest relationship because like we met I liked him and he liked me, which was rare, as we know on Free Period, very rare that ever happened where I liked someone and they liked me back. I think he was the second person in my life that did that. And he took me out on a date. We started dating. I'll never forget when he asked me, and again, I was very innocent at this point. Like, we were not doing things. Like, we were not, you know, there was no, it was very much like innocent, like kisses and sweet kisses. Like, it was nothing. It was nuzzles. It was cuddles. It was sweet and very innocent. Yeah. And I remember two things. I remember when he asked me to be his girlfriend, which was like, no one had ever done that before. And he like asked me as if like, and when he asked me, it was like as if I was getting married. Like, it was like a marriage proposal. Like, I remember I was sitting at his desk in his room at his mom's house, and he was like on the bed, and he was like, I need to ask you something. And I was like, what? And he goes, will you be my girlfriend? And I've never felt more excited in my life. And it was like within a month of dating. And then flash forward to, I think it was like 2 or 3 months into our relationship. Sorry, mom and dad, I'm telling you this story on the pod because I lied, but you can't punish me now. I had told my parents that I was sleeping over at a friend's house for a sleepover party. And he picked me up from school in his Honda Accord two-door.
Oof, what color? Talk to me about color.
White.
Oh, I knew it was white.
And with tan interior. Yeah, very, very chic. Stunning. And like, I remember he picked me up. There was this parking lot at Loxa. And if anyone goes to Loxa, you know this parking lot. It's called F Lot. That was like where all the seniors parked their cars. It's like where you would go to get picked up for like if you had like a senior driving you home. So I was in F-Lot, and that's like where everyone would like crowd on F-Lot and like smoke cigarettes and like talk about the day, and they like get into their cars and go home. So I tell him to pick me up at F-Lot, probably strategically because I wanted all the seniors to see, everyone to see that I had a boyfriend that was like older. Yeah. And because he was 2 years older than me, and he picked me from F-Lot. Everyone was like, what the fuck? Who is this guy? Because no one knew that I was dating this human. He didn't go to our school and whatever.
It's the coolest moment. Coolest
fucking moment. Literally. It was my movie. And he picked me from school, and he drove me to his mom's house. And I'll never forget, we were like standing in his kitchen, and he kissed me, and then he pulled away and he said, I'm in love with you. And it was like the sweetest thing. Like, I had never, that was everything that I had ever wanted in life, was someone to say, I love you. Like, that was, I'm gonna cry again. He said, I'm in love with you. And that was like the first time I'd ever heard that, because that's all I had ever wanted in my life. I mean, talk about like my boyfriend before, who we had dated for 4 months. And this is like my boyfriend before, I mean, with the boyfriend that said, I love you, we had met, dated, you know, loved each other. It plateaued, and then it kind of like turned into a friendship, and it was like the most beautiful breakup I had ever had. Like, we really came together, and we were like, are you happy? And I was 17,
so
18, I think I was 18 at the time. I was like, I knew that like we weren't going to get married, but we like loved each other so much, and we were friends, and like it kind of turned into a friendship, and we both just were like, I think this chapter needs to end, which is like so mature.
So mature.
So insanely mature. You're so right. It was like the most mature breakup I've ever had in my life was when I was 18. And like there was no, like we hugged each other, like there were no tears, like... And also for years after that, anytime I needed him or he needed me, we were there for each other. Not even in like a romantic way. We were just such good friends, and it was just such a beautiful thing. Cut back to my first breakup that I ever had. I had dated somebody for 4 months before this relationship. And let me preface the situation with... This person and I are really good friends still. Love him to fucking bits.
Love him. Like, I love him.
Him to
friends.
Bits. We're all friends. Love him to fucking bits. But my first breakup, like my first like tumultuous breakup, was my first breakup. And we had been dating for 4 months. again, all I wanted was for someone, because in high school years, you say, I love you within the first, I don't even know, week. Yeah. You're supposed to say, I love you within like the first week. Like there's no, time goes by so fast.
In movies, it's 45 minutes in. That's when the I love 100%. You happens. So come on.
You're like, unrealistic. Okay. And so with this person, we had been dating for 4 months, and the plateau and the descent happened very quickly. It was like, we met, we dated. Like, he also lived, like, kind of not far away from me, but, like, far enough distance LA version where, like, we didn't go to the same school. Like, my parents were not letting me go over to his house all the time, like, during the week. Like, it was very, like, innocent. PG. And I became really good friends with his friends. I was at one of his friends, his guy friends' houses, because I've become really good friends with one of his guy friends. Not in, like, a weird way, just, like, we were just homies.
No, just in a chess move way.
Yeah, chess move way. I was like, I can hang out with your friend. Da, da, da. And so he picked me up, and his friend lived in Encino. I lived in, you know, Studio City. And that's, like, a good 7 exits away. And I will never forget, like, he picked me up and he was silent. And I, like, kind of knew what was coming. But it was, like, it's that kind of thing where you're, like, on your first, like, breakup, you're like, am I getting broken up with? Like, is this, like, actually happening? Like, is this happening to me? And I, like, get into his car. It's silent. Like, full silent. We are driving. It is silence. And I think I got up the courage by the time we were getting off at Laurel Canyon, which, if you know the 101 freeway, you know that exit. My house is, like, a good 7 minutes drive from the exit of Laurel Canyon. And as we were driving down the ramp, this is the most Californians fucking explanation. As we were driving down the ramp on the 101 freeway getting off at Laurel Canyon, I got up the courage to say, are you breaking up with me? And he was like, yes.
Oh my God.
And the whole relationship that we were together, I just wanted him to say, I love you, which is why with the other guy, it meant so much. It makes me want to cry. But like, I wanted him to say, I love you so badly the whole time we were dating. Yeah. I was like, say it. Even though I knew he didn't, I was like, I don't even want you to mean it. I don't even give a shit. I just want to hear it. I just want to hear I love you for the first time. And we had 7 minutes, 7 minutes to my house.
In heaven.
That we drove in silence. And I was like, don't cry. Like, in my mind, I was like, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. I'm like, in my mind, I was like, he'll never see me cry. He will never see these tears. Like, I will save these tears for my pillow. And what I did was, I opened up his car door. He was driving a Prius. I opened up the Prius car door.
Just really quickly. Prius is a very key detail. Priuses, Prii, were silent.
Silent. So you can hear a pin drop. You can hear a pin drop.
Okay, you should have started it with the Prius comment. Okay.
Cozy boy. Literally cozy boy. I open up the door. I turn back at him. And with the rage of 1,000 suns, I turn to him and I go, you know, I really loved you. And I slammed the door. I slammed the door and I ran, like probably ugly ran into my house. I'm like, that's when like the movie started in my mind. I was like, it started with, you know, I really loved you. Slammed the door, ran. I'm like fumbling with my keys. I'm like, oh my God, why today am I fumbling with my keys? I just need to get out. But open the door. I shut the door. I start hysterically crying. I like lean up with my back against the door and I slide down the door crying. Slide down. I slide down the door crying. I slid down the fucking door. And then I'm in the fetal position at the door crying. Oh. My parents are in the living room. They have no fucking idea what's going on. It doesn't stop there. I go to my room. We had taken a Polaroid together and I had stuck it in my window. Not my window. I stuck it on my mirror to look at it every morning. Like I would wake up like a movie, all the girls with boyfriends like had photos of them on their mirror. Yeah. So every time they looked at their outfit in the morning, they like saw their boyfriend, like blew it a kiss. Took that Polaroid off the mirror. grabbed scissors, ran to the trash can, start snipping away at this Polaroid. And
well,
like,
let me tell you, Polaroids are the hardest to cut.
Super hard.
Cut up a Polaroid? Free period listeners, have you ever cut up a Polaroid? It's impossible.
It's impossible. And I had shitty fucking scissors. And I'm like cutting up this fucking Polaroid. And it was like the most dramatic. I was so dramatic. It was insanity. And it was like, that was definitely like the most like movie breakup that I had ever had.
If I may be so brave as to say, that is your Oscar clip.
Thank you.
That's the clip they play when they are going when I'm through nominated. The contenders. That's it's me. The Oscar clip.
And the only line that I say is, you know I really loved you.
Oh, it's so good. Wait, Alana, also, really quickly, this is, I can't believe I'm saying this on the podcast. In 7th, 8th, 9th grade, I...
Oh, no.
Okay, it's fine. Okay, so I really, really felt like I was the star of my own movie, and everything was very magnified. If I got into like a fight with my mom, if I did poorly on a math test, I would come into my room. I would okay, I want to no, it's fine. I would look in the mirror and imagining I was in an Oscar clip that gets played when it's like nominated for, you know, on the screen. I would look in the mirror and be like, "Why'd you do that?
Stop.
You think you did that? You had the nerve. You just, you're nothing. You're nothing." Like hitting my chest, like looking in the mirror, crying, being like, "You're nothing. You're nothing." Like it was my monster, Charlize Theron. Like I was having, I had, it was my, you know what it was? It was my American Beauty moment when she closes the blinds at the house she's selling. She's like, "Stupid, stupid, stupid."
Yeah.
Like, that's what I would do. And I was the star of my own movie. I was the star. I was in, I was getting nominated on a daily basis.
Oh, let me tell you.
It is so embarrassing to admit that, because I was really upset, but I would take, it was really almost like bird's eye view of myself. I would take my feelings, but almost look in the mirror like I was an American Beauty and be like, "You're nothing, nothing." Like it was lower my voice, but not the Paris Hilton lowered voice. It was like the guttural, like, "This is an Oscar winner.
You're in the talkies. You're in Technicolor now.
You're nothing.
You're nothing.
Like a
See? You're nothing, you see? I see you for who you are. You're nothing."
Like a glass of like cherry Gatorade in my hand. I'm like spilling it everywhere. I'm like, you don't
it's
even
in a wine
know
glass.
What math
It's in a wine glass. It's in a wine glass. It's Gatorade in a wine glass and you're stumbling around your bedroom.
X equals negative B plus or minus square root.
Dude, the Pythagorean theorem. That's the only thing that I remember from high school. This is a complete side
Haunts
note, but
me to this day.
There was a jingle. If anyone's in high school, this is
X
how you remember the...
Okay, ready?
X equals
negative
B
plus
or minus square root.
B squared over 4AC. All over 2A.
A.
Wait, let me just say to our listeners, Alana and I are not together. We are on Zoom. Alana's like blurry as she's waving her arms. So we're both slowing it down. It's like remix. It's like X equals like you and I just did a full remix slowed down version. Because we're trying to be
we're trying to match up our delay. That is so fucking funny.
I mean, anyway, I can't believe I just admitted it. I was just dramatic. I was melodramatic. And I, you know, my mom was an actress, so I learned from her. I do remember one time my parents showed me Indiana Jones. You know, this is how my parents met. My mom was the lead in Temple of Doom. There's a scene where she spits in Harrison Ford's face. And I really took that with me after I left the...
theater.
Living room and the theater. And my mom the next night was tickling me. I must have been 6, honestly. She was tickling me on her bed and I was like, "Stop, stop." And then I spit in her face because I saw her do it. The rage. I have never seen my mom so angry. She like dragged me to, I don't even think grounded existed at six, but I was like in my room and think about what I had just done. But it's like I had no time to explain, like, mother, I was only emulating
Mom,
you.
It's the movies.
It's the talkies. But I was very much, yeah, I had an actress sister and an actress mom. And I think I really was like, and I was obsessed with like Virgin Suicides and obsessed with 13 and like even just Wes Anderson, Royal Tenenbaums. Like I had all these scenes in my head. I was going, you know, that's where I'd put my emotions.
I love it. That's so funny.
And now I'm a musician.
La 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 la. Now we realize we're musicians. Ha 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 ha. God, what a roller coaster ride. Today
I mean,
has
I
been.
I love our episodes when we can just dig in. I mean, because also the whole, anyway, we started the episode with talking about Asher and then like why I started dating the people that I dated in adulthood. And it makes so much sense. It tracks. All of it tracks. Harry is my first adult. Like this is, I wouldn't even say it's a new me because I still feel like a seventh grader, but it is the evolved, been through hell and back, met this light version of me. And I honestly, when I first met Harry, and I even told you this, I was so scared. I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. I was like, how can it be this good? Because I was so used to chaos. I was so used to everything, you know, starting nice and then turning to shit. And that was the pattern I was used to. And so I was expecting that and waiting for the other shoe to drop and having so much anxiety because I was like, Harry is the person I'm going to marry. I know this. So wait, what's the catch? Like what bad thing is going to happen to me? Because something bad has to happen because it can't be this good. And I remember calling you so anxious and you were like, dude, I think this is just it.
And I cried.
And this is like, and you cried and I cried. And I think there was a deep part of me, again, seventh grader in the mirror, not being able to get an A or B or C on a math test. Like, I was like, I don't deserve this. Like, in my mind, I was like, I don't deserve to be happy. And I think that does stem from, I mean, yes, Oscar clips aside. Like, I really felt, I was a very anxious kid. I felt like no guy liked me. I felt like I had to lean on the funny. But in reality, like to this day, I felt like a seventh grader when I started dating Harry, like it can't be this good. And if it is this good, I don't deserve this. Why should I deserve it? And you were there for me that whole time talking me through it, being like, I think this is just it. Like this is the rest of your life. And it's okay. It's calm. It's serene. It's beautiful. Just like go with it. And it was a huge talk because I still to this day, I have to say it's like every day feels like a first date. And I'm just in love. I'm just in love. And it's weird. And I feel myself and I the way I feel with you, which I think also is key, the way you feel with your best friends, I think you should absolutely feel with your partners if you can, if you're lucky enough.
It's true. And you
but again, now
it.
I'm saying this, but see, yeah, it's so funny. Now I'm talking about how in love I am and I'm like, oh my God, listeners, don't hate me. I promise there's other issues.
I'm troubled. I'm troubled, I promise.
I promise you.
I've been through the ringer, let me tell you. I've been through the ringer.
I know.
With these 12 years. Men, with all the testosterone. I've been through the ringer.
12 years. Bags of socks.
Bags of socks. And that's the name of this
and
episode.
And that's the name. Coolio, K-E-W-L-I-O.
Coolio.
Alana,
and Al Gore.
We've been through, we've been broken. This has been a beautiful episode for me. I hope it's been healing for you.
It has been. I mean, it is, you know, if the listeners could see me now, I cried twice.
She cried twice.
God damn it. I cried. And I'm not a crier. I don't cry very often. I think nostalgia. I don't know. Maybe it's something in the stars, but like being nostalgic about your first love is just so, it hits deep, man. It hits fucking deep. And I'm, again, very grateful that I had one that was good. Because
you had a really,
not a lot of people can say that. Not a lot of people can, and I can, so I'm grateful.
First love.
Yes. But Sasha, I love you.
I love you so much. This has been healing and beautiful, and I even noticed my voice got deeper.
Oh, I think mine did too.
I know, I think
I talked to mine. Because we were talking about serious
matters. years.
Sad stuff. Maybe I'll be proud of this, of my voice in this episode. Maybe I'll be proud of it.
I think you will. I love you so much. This has been so fun.
I'm going to call you right after this.
Of course. It was FaceTime. I'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you for listening to Free Period, a presentation of Cadence 13 and Odyssey Studio.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Bye.